You know, I've been away, and I'm just back for meetings in the next few days, and I was very pleased to hear that tonight we're going to be celebrating in our liturgy Human Rights Day. And I was asked to say the Mass and to preach, which I'm very pleased to do. Too often, human rights is regarded as something, a matter of politics, and not religion. And nothing could be further from the truth. Although human rights and human dignity are not biblical words, the idea of human rights and human dignity are deeply embedded in the Bible, in what the Bible teaches about justice, and especially in the teaching and example of Jesus. Nobody has ever respected the rights of others more consistently and more comprehensively than Jesus did. He treated everyone equally. He showed great respect for the human dignity of all the people he met, rich and poor, beggars, Roman soldiers, women, children, prostitutes, women taken in adultery, as we have in the Gospel a moment ago, and also those who were what we call today mentally challenged, the maniacs and demoniacs and all the rest. In his eyes, they all had equal dignity, and they deserved equal respect, and they all had the same rights to food, to health, and to respect. And the Church has always taught this, although it has not always practiced what it preached. There have been times when the Church has been guilty of very serious violations of human rights. For example, the Inquisition, when people were burnt to stake because they were considered to be heretics, where the human rights, the right of freedom of religion, the freedom of conscience, was not respected at all. I think one of the great achievements of the Second Vatican Council was its teaching on the right of the freedom to freedom of religion. Colonialism brought with it the most terrible violations of human rights, as we know, where people of color, whether they were African, Asian, or Native American, were denied the same rights as the European colonists, even sometimes denied all rights altogether. But the Church corrected this gradually, and why I mention it as an example is because it was our Spanish Dominicans in those days who developed a theology of human rights, Vittorio, Montesinos, and especially Bartholomew de las Casas. But I think the great achievement of the Church in this regard has been its social teaching, the social encyclicals, which are all based upon human dignity, human rights, and the common good. We often joke and say that the social teaching of the Church is its best kept secret, that people know much about the Church perhaps, but don't know anything at all about its social teaching. So I think what we're doing here this evening when we celebrate human rights is we are also celebrating the social teaching of the Church, which needs to be mentioned and celebrated far more frequently than is generally the case. And turning to South Africa, we are a country that was one of the worst in the world for the violation of human rights, and here too we have changed. We now have a constitution which includes the Bill of Rights, which is one of the best in the world, and that too is what we are celebrating today, our South African constitution. But there are still violations of human rights in South Africa. There are still violations of human rights in the Church. There are still violations of human rights in Angola, even though they have Mosaico teaching people human rights, and it's run by Dominicans, which we're very proud of. And yet, I think we have to acknowledge that much progress has been made. And we are closer today to Jesus' teaching and his practice than we have been in the past. And that too deserves being celebrated today. However, we cannot sit back and say, well, we're doing fine and that's all right, we can just celebrate that. We need to look at the limitations, not only of the fact that human rights are not being respected and being violated all over the world, in the church and in South Africa, as I say, but also that human rights alone, I want to say, is not enough. The problem with human rights, good and wonderful as it is, and many people haven't even caught up with human rights yet, but the problem with it is it focuses far too much on the rights of individuals. And this can be abused. For example, one of the rights that are most abused is the right to private property. So people can say, yes, I have the right to accumulate as much wealth as I like, as much possessions as I like, as much food as I like, and some people, there are individuals who have more money and possessions now than some nations in the world. And they say, it's within my rights. I have a right to all of this, despite the fact that billions of others are starving and have nothing. Another way in which the human rights can be abused is what is called entitlement. When we say, I want my rights, regardless of whether anyone else in the world has their rights, or whether I'm respecting anyone else's rights. Just give me my rights. Sure, your rights must be respected, indeed. But what about the rights of others? So I think in the future, what we must work for is a commitment to what is called the common good. It's not just my rights and your rights. We have to ask what is best for everyone, especially the poor, the marginalized, the outsiders. Because what is best for me is what is best for everyone. And if we can see what is best for everyone, then that is what is best for me. This is what we call the common good. And this is also the will of God. One of the great things about the church's social teaching is that in the end, the emphasis is on the common good and what Jesus would have called the will of God. And I think the politicians still have to catch up with that. Amen.